The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is sponsored by Fiber One Complete Pancake Mix, with 20% of the daily value of fiber and 0 grams trans fat in each light and fluffy serving. Fiber One pancakes are a better way to eat your favorite breakfast. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie, got a little bit warmer here this last week, and there's blue sky out for a while, and so it was good snow for snowballs, and some of the boys were practicing with them and trying to get that high arc on snowballs Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful snow packed in nice and hard, and they were seeing what kind of a trajectory they could get, throwing them high and long and going deep down Elm Street towards McKinley Street. And then just as one took off, Pastor Enquist came walking down the sidewalk out of the Lutheran church, and the snowball hung up there in the air long enough for you to think about the problem of evil and about God's omnipotence. And if God is truly omnipotent, does he not have the power to change the trajectory of a snowball if he should so choose? And it hit him. It hit him in the right shoulder. And he jerked back. And you could see anger fumes coming out of the top of his head. And you could understand how wars begin right in those 15 seconds right there, where his love of his neighbor had vanished for just a moment. And they all ran towards him and they said, "Sorry, sorry, didn't see you there. Everybody knows who you are in a small town. They know you 200 feet away, so there's no point in hiding." They all ran towards him, and one of the boys said, "Sorry, Dad, I didn't mean that." He had no choice but to forgive them, of course, once he could see them up close. There was a full moon out the other night. It was so bright on Wednesday night that people woke up. They couldn't sleep. They got up and they had to do something and keep busy, and there was no work to be done in their house, and so they sat down to write letters to relatives and friends by moonlight. Letters that some of them made the mistake of mailing the next day, and a few days later their relatives called to ask them if they were all right, because there were strange references, and the syntax was odd in these letters. They were writing all in the first person plural and all in the present tense, and we are sitting in the kitchen and we see streetcars coming across the fields and men in white leather jackets riding their horses along, and a woman with dark hair has walked into the kitchen, and the gods of clean sheets are all laughing. It just didn't make any sense at all. It was the full moon. It's a dangerous, dangerous time. It was warm, and so there's some melted water out on the ice on the lake, and people are getting in the last of their ice fishing while they still can. All of the ice fish houses have to be off the ice here in another couple of weeks, the last chance for people to go catch some northerns, which they don't want to eat anyway, but it's the principle of the thing, don't you know? The bald eagles are flying over and they're carrying sticks in their mouth, and so we know that they are building their nests, and so they are thinking about replenishing the supply of bald eagles. And the owls are making their nests too, and so they are breeding now. They breed now so that their young will be born after the snow has melted, when it will be easier to see the predators coming towards the nest, the rats or the foxes or the voles, for whom baby owl is a great delicacy. Baby owl au jus, baby owl with the fur still on and the little bright eyes looking up at you as the diners descend. So that's why they breed now. There's something so reasonable about nature, the other part of nature, not our part, animals and the coming and going of animals and the migration of animals and their breeding habits and the skunks, you start to smell them now because they're releasing their magical fluids to guarantee their own privacy while they breed. There's a reasonableness about it that the Creator really knew what he was doing when he established these lower orders. And then we came along, and then, I don't know, he just lost track or something. He just wasn't focused, and our need to produce young, it got mixed up with our emotions somehow, and our individuality, and our need to be known by somebody, to have somebody know us. It got all tangled up with all of these irrelevant things, and it became so complicated. So tonight is the Sweethearts Dinner in the basement of the Lutheran Church, where all of these old people have been married for a long time and who know more than they would care to tell you on the subject of marriage. We'll all sit and have a little chicken dinner together with asparagus and coleslaw and blueberry pie. They will sit and look at each other and not tell their stories of how they all got together. Amazing stories, really, how casual it was. Carl and Margie Krebsbach got together. She was driving down the road. It was in the spring, and she was on her way to her job teaching, and she heard someone hammering on a house. Someone was building a house. It was in April, and she was driving down the road, and something about the rhythm of that hammering got her attention, and she slowed down, and she pulled over onto the shoulder, and she got stuck in the mud, and there was the hammerer up there, Carl Krebsbach, stripped to the waist. And she looked at him as she spun her wheels in the mud, and finally he heard her, and he came down and opened up the driver's side door and said, "Move over," and she moved over. And here a man stripped to his waist sat beside her, and he rocked the car back and forth and back and forth. And they were married 3 months later. Marilyn and Daryl Tollerud met at a party in South Minneapolis, and he was a student at the University of Minnesota, the St. Paul campus. And she and two of her friends were invited to a party at the apartment of these guys down on West 38th Street. And the guys were in engineering, and they weren't that interested in girls. But there was Daryl, who was not one of those guys, and so was not responsible for that horrible apartment where they lived and that bathroom that you just hesitated to use. He was different somehow, and the comparison between him and those young men who lived there was not lost on her. They sat down to play whist at the table, and she heard him say, "Marilyn, it's your play." Wow. And just the sound of his voice saying her name. 6 months later, they were married. Just, it happened like that. And the Bunsens, Clarence and Arlene. Clarence Bunsen, who went out to shovel the snow off the roof of his house late one evening a couple of weeks ago, went out to shovel it, although she told him, "You could hire a teenager to do that. They'd be happy to do it. Don't do that. You're too old to do that." Then, of course, he had to do it when she said that. He had to get out the aluminum ladder and climb up there. She said, "You fall down off that thing and you break your neck. You become a paraplegic. You have to move around in a wheelchair steering with a pencil between your teeth. Don't count on me to be your caregiver." Well, then he had to go up there. He shoveled off half the snow on the roof. And then he was exhausted and lay down against the slope of the roof, bracing his heels in the gutters. He lay there on a cold, cold winter night and looked out across the lights of his town and the Lutheran Church and the Mercantile, the Sidetrack Tap, the Chatterbox Cafe, Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, the lights along Main Street, the Christmas decorations still up, the statue of the unknown Norwegian. He lay there looked at it all, and then when he was ready to get up again, he found that his coat was frozen to the roof. This was his shearling jacket, the skin out, the fleece in. It was frozen. His arms were frozen in a crucifix position. He rolled back and forth, rolled back and forth. He could hear the sound of the TV down in the bedroom. His wife was lying in bed watching TV while her husband froze to death right over her head. He could not get his arms loose. The jacket is tight. He's gained weight since he got this for Christmas 3 years ago. He couldn't squeeze out of it. He felt like a bratwurst in its skin. He rolled back and forth, and then he heard a crunch in his left hip pocket. It was the bottle of peppermint schnapps he'd taken up to the roof with him. And now he could see what people would say about him when his frozen body was found. He went up on the roof to drink. He had a peppermint schnapps problem up there. He drank. He got drunk up there, and then he pissed his pants. He was all prepared to die in shame, and then he heard his wife calling to him from down below. She said, "Are you almost finished?" "Yes," he said, "I am almost finished, truly. I've got to get my coat loose from this roof." Well, my heaven's sake, she climbed up the ladder, though she's afraid of heights. His wife climbed up the steep slope of that roof to where her husband lay trapped in his shearling jacket, and she pulled on the zipper with both of her hands. This slight woman yanked that zipper open. He came leaking out of that coat. The two of them went sliding off the ski jump and off into the snow that he just dumped down on the front yard. Thank goodness for snow. They were uninjured. They went into the house, fixed themselves a nice hot toddy, sat down to drink it. There was a knock at the door. Gary and Leroy, the town constables. Nothing goes unnoticed in this town. They said, "There's a jacket up on your roof." "Yes, I know," he said. I put that up there. "That's a cougar trap, is what that is." "Cougar trap? There are no cougars in this." "Well, that's why, because we..." "What do you use for bait for cougars?" "I use peppermint schnapps." "What else?" They're all there at the sweetheart's dinner tonight, all thinking of their own stories, how they got together, how they stayed together, how they saved each other's lives. You've got your story, too. Someday we'll tell that. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.
The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is sponsored by Fiber One Complete Pancake Mix, with 20% of the daily value of fiber and 0 grams trans fat in each light and fluffy serving. Fiber One pancakes are a better way to eat your favorite breakfast.